you can avoid any trap that Satan sets for you. Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and his guest David Barton continue their special series on the role of Christians in government.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, Friday's edition. Brother David Barton is with us again today, and we are going to get into some really rich stuff. So turn the recorder on, whatever you do, and get on KCM.org and go back over it and over it and over it again, because there's going to be some really, really strong things that you need not only to be aware of, so that the news media and all that hoorah that's going on there doesn't overwhelm you. But not only that, you can teach your children what is happening around us right now. And Father, we thank you for it, and we give you the praise and the glory for righteous, godly information. And we thank you that it's not your will for us to be ignorant of the things of God. And we just thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. David, you were talking about from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul said, in verse 9, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgave it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, if then we are ignorant of his devices in any area, I don't care what it is, but most particularly in government and the things that affect our lives that we think we don't have any control over. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. That's a device in itself.
That's a device in itself.
So,
that's right.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of it. He's trying to get an advantage over you in your household, with your children, in your marriage, in your finances, any way he can. He, as a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he may destroy. He's trying to get the advantage over you. And in doing so, if he can take you down and give God the blame for it, that's what he'll attempt to do. And he's trying to swing this government right now in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks as though he's doing it, but he's not getting it done.
Yeah.
He can't overcome what he's tied into.
Yeah.
It's bigger than he is.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
And one of the things that I think is so interesting about that verse is Satan gets an advantage over us if we're ignorant of his devices. And you and I have grown up in the country. I mean, in our ranch, we have trouble with skunks. And skunks carry rabies and everything. So we trap them. The way a trap works is the critter doesn't know it's a trap. Otherwise, they wouldn't step into it. You know, we got some coyotes that kill calves, and they recognize traps, and they'll stay out of a trap. So if you don't know what a trap looks like and you walk into it, then you've got some consequences to pay for it.
That's really true.
And so if you're ignorant of his devices, if you don't know what his traps look like, you'll walk into there and he will get an advantage over you.
And he'll hurt you.
And he'll hurt you. And that's the problem with it. So, and having this week talked about socialism, what it looks like, what the Bible says about it, what it does, what it produces, you know, thought it'd be kind of interesting to say, all right, here's what it looks like, here's some early warning signs, here's some traps. If you see this, you know that a trap's coming. You know, the soldiers, was just spending a lot of time with a guy who just made his third tour through Iraq, and they know what the devices look like. You know, they didn't, and some guys got blown up early, but you see a cell phone laying on the side of the road, or you see a little mound somewhere, or you see a little wire sticking out of the sand, you got a device you need to get away from in a hurry, and they've learned that. And so the advantage is not there anymore. We're not losing soldiers the way we were losing them, because we've learned what those devices look like. And I was thinking about this because in raising my kids and being in a community, I was thinking back, you know, we've really been teaching socialism for the last 20 years very slowly.
Yeah, we have.
And we don't teach what it is. We don't teach that it's wrong. We don't teach that it's anti-biblical. We don't show the results that it does in the world. And we don't even reckon it. But I remember back with T-ball, when my kids were playing T-ball, one of the things they got going was, let's not keep score anymore. Let's take the score
out. I remember
out.
That.
You know, we don't want the kids... You know, that's a warning sign of socialism, is when you remove competition. Yeah. When you want everybody to feel the same about it, and you don't
They'll
want...
They'll stop right there.
That's right. You don't want to reward achievement anymore. And anything that says we're not going to reward achievement and we're not going to distinguish, we're not going to have competition, we'll all play, but we'll all feel good about it. I go back to 1 Kings. Elijah loved competition. He goes, 450 prophets of Baal? Okay, me against you, it'll be about fair then. No, it won't even be fair. I'll wipe you. And so you've got top of Mount Carmel, and he's saying, let's have a good competition here. Matter of fact, you guys take all the time you want. Let's have a... And the God who answers by fire, he wins. That's competition. There's no way around it. That is not saying let's all be even and, you know, all religions are equal. We had competition. I love what Daniel did. Daniel was there in Babylon, not his system. And he says to the eunuch, let's have a little competition here. Let us eat the way we're used to eating. Let us do the biblical thing. You guys do your way, and then we'll have a test at the end and see which way. And they said, fine. I mean, all through the Bible, you have examples of competition where we test and we rank and we say, nope, that's a winning, that's a losing. We don't. But socialism, we've started doing this in America where now, here in Texas, in our state, we so want people to feel good that we don't have competition. So now you're an exemplary school in Texas, and people can say, my kid goes to an exemplary... You know what an exemplary school is here? Exemplary school means that 33% of the school can read at grade level. That's exemplary?
One-third? You've got to be kidding.
And we're proud about that? See, we have so mellowed down things to where we don't want competition anymore. We don't want people to feel...
David, there is a man that has proven that you can teach a pre-toddler to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you don't have to be 14 years old to learn how to read. He's not only proven it, and now he's developed a program where any mother can take it and teach
That's
a
right.
little baby how to read.
Right.
It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
We have one of the great examples I love is one of the founding fathers, John Trumbull. John Trumbull, who is on the Supreme Court of Connecticut. He's a judge and a justice. He's a great literary guy. He wrote literature. We still study in colleges today. McFingal was one of his famous pieces. When he was 4 years old, he had finished reading the Bible from cover to cover for the first time at the age of four. We're talking the King James Bible, you know, little bitty words in the big words in the King James Bible. 4 years old, he's read it cover to cover for the first time. Yeah, that was not an unusual thing, except in today, we don't want to challenge, we don't want to push, we don't want to have some kids feeling they can't succeed.
The thing that was so amazing to me about teaching those little toddlers how to read, they thought it was a game.
That's exactly
right.
They
were just having more fun.
That's exactly right.
And in the process of it, they learned how to read, and they didn't know they learned how to read. They thought they was playing a game.
What's their experience level? Their experience level, whatever you give them, they're going to get into. And we used to know that. We used to understand that. And now we're so concerned about how we feel. I've watched this self-esteem thing run this course in schools. You know, we did it in T-ball, and then we started doing it in schools. Now everybody's an exemplary school, and so what does that mean? I go back to what happened with Cain and Abel, and I love what God told Cain. He says, if you do right, you'll be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basis of self-esteem right there. Do the right thing.
There's nothing unfair about
There's
that.
There's nothing
David.
Unfair. It's a choice you make. And you make the right choices, you do the right things, you will have self-esteem. I don't care. If you make the wrong choices, self-esteem just ain't going to be there. I mean, self-esteem comes from God. It comes from doing the right things, making the right choices, and having the right fruit. It's real simple stuff. And we used to teach that. That's why right and wrong was so important. That's why we taught right. So the first warning sign of socialism is we get into this thing where we want to reduce competition and move everyone kind of toward a happy medium where we all feel good about things. And that...
Could we say at this point then that the first sign of it is when you blur the standards?
Yes, absolutely.
no more standard.
That's right.
Anymore.
You blur the standards.
And the word, you know, says when Satan comes in, God will lift a standard up against him. And the standards are blurred.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Truth is relative. That's your opinion. I don't feel that. I don't believe that's a problem. At that point, we looked at this thing yesterday, the cycle. At that point, you're going back into bondage.
Yeah, you are. You're on the downhill, aren't you?
You're on the apathy
side. You're on the
backside
of that curve.
I really don't care what you think is right and wrong. I just don't care. Apathy. All right, now we're in dependence. Now we're into bondage. At that point where you no longer have a standard, you no longer reward achievement, you no longer want competition. Well, somebody has to finish last if we have competition. Yep, that's true. And it's always going to be that way. But that's the way God has ordained things to be. There is ranking and there is competition. If you don't like finishing last, just motivate yourself to finish first the next time. Paul says, hey, you run the race as one who wants to win. He said, a lot of guys run the race, but you run it to win. That's competition.
Keeping the rules.
Keeping the rules.
So
you do it right, you keep the rules, and you run it to win.
In life, if you're ignorant of his devices, he'll beat you at the game
of life.
That's
right.
And he doesn't have the power or the authority to do it.
But if you step
in
his trap,
yield to him, you get into that trap. And
you walk into it voluntarily.
And if you get in a trap and you just stay there, it becomes a jail.
Yeah. And see, that the thing about traps, too, is a trap only works if you voluntarily enter it. I mean, you can walk
that's
around the outside
right,
of a trap all day
that's
long
right,
and say, hey, look, that's a trap. Doesn't bother me.
Uh-uh.
You know, I can have that skunk walk around that trap all day long. It's no dangerous walking outside. You have to voluntarily enter those traps. And when you voluntarily enter those traps, you relinquish. That's right. That's
right. So now you're back around. You're going to
have
know the truth, and the truth will make you free
right.
to get out of
and
there.
Then courage to do it.
Yeah.
So one thing, the other thing that really stands out that socialism does, it wants to limit your choices. And this is the problem with socialized health care. You start limiting choices.
That's the first thing it does.
It does. It limits.
It really does.
God has always been. I mean, look at Joshua. He said, hey, choose this day whom you're going to serve. God could have said, hey, no other choices. I'm the only choice. No, he made it real clear, but he gives you your choice. God could not give it. He could have made it where we don't have any choices. But he gave us choices. We get choices every time. He said, you want to follow me or you're going to go with the rest of the crowd in John 6 to the disciples. We get choices. And so when you start limiting choices, you're moving away from what God ordained and what God planned. And that was still the same thing with Elijah on top of Mount Carmel. He says, make a choice. You want to follow Bill? You want to follow? Anything that limits your choices, you're moving away from God's standards into socialism.
You know, I saw Mr. Huckabee on his program on Fox. I saw him very courageously, but with a lot of godly wisdom. He produced that on his broadcast between two pastors. Now,
wow.
Both of them black men, and both of them pastored churches about the same size. They were large, prosperous churches.
Mm-hmm.
This is back before the election. And he asked this man, how do you feel about abortion? We are absolutely against it. And he named some other things like, well, other issues. He said, we are vehemently against that. And I won't vote for anybody that promotes it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that. And he made this statement. Or something akin to this, that the life of one child is worth more than all of the other stuff there is.
Yeah.
Well, he asked the other man, what do you think about it? And he said, we're as vehemently against it as he is. Yes. But, now the moment he said, he is in a trap and he said, but there are social issues here that must be dealt with.
Yeah,
he's a socialistic pastor, and I saw it immediately, and that Mr. Huckabee had made his point without saying a word.
That's
he,
right.
You know, he just asked them. He just compared them, and there
choice.
They were.
That's right.
And the two pastors got in a fuss.
Huh.
Boy, they got heated over this thing. And this other guy came up. Boy, he nearly come out of that seat. He said, no child's life is worth it. I don't care how many social issues you're dealing with. And Mr. Huckabee had to get in here, you know, and say, but it was so obvious. Now, I'm not talking about a bad man.
Yeah.
But he's in a trap, and he doesn't realize.
He doesn't realize it.
He's caught in that thing.
See, he thinks it has to be one or the other. Well, it's got to be abortion or the... No, I'm for social issues, too, but we're going to protect life first. Yeah. We'll add the other stuff on and say, well, I'm for life, but I'm also for... So I'm going to lower my standard. You can't do that. You can't do that.
You're going to get it in the...
You know what? This is one of the things I really find intriguing. God gave 613 laws in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They deal with immigration. They deal with health care. They deal with private property. They deal with...
They deal with everything.
They deal with everything. So out of that, he tells us over in Exodus, he says, but here's the tenor of my laws. Here's my top 10 in my laws. And he goes through and lists out what we would call the Ten Commandments. He gave us 613, said, but here's my priorities. Well, guess what? On that list appears the protection of innocent life. You don't shed innocent blood.
That's right.
Period. That list didn't include anything about the environment or health care or poverty or anything that are the social justice. It didn't make God's top 10. So for me to put something in God's top 10 that he didn't
above
put there.
That's
right.
You're in trouble when you do it.
I'm usurping God's authority.
You know, Dad, all of those over 600 will fit into those 10.
Absolutely.
They'll subhead in those 10. Now,
that's right.
If you'll make this your way of life, you won't have any climate problem. You're not going to have any racism. You're not going to have any of
that. That's right. That's exactly right.
It'll fix it for you.
It will.
And the only way you're ever going to walk in them like that is to walk in love.
That's right.
And if you do that, man, it'll fix the planet for you.
That's
it'll
right.
fix all the rest of it.
It does. It does.
Wow.
So one trap is the trap of seeing competition reduced. One trap is the trap of having less choices. And a third trap is group, where we start dealing with groups rather than individuals.
Oh.
Jesus didn't die for groups. He died for individuals. When we start thinking in groups, my group or my segment, my color, my sexual
my
orientation,
church.
Anything else, when we start thinking in groups
well,
rather than individuals.
Well, you see, God, the reason I belong to such and such church, and you know, we...
Now we're getting socialistic.
Yeah, we're of that church, Lord. And the Lord said, I ain't talking to the church. Pardon me, I'm talking to you. Now, why did you do this?
Yeah,
why
didn't exactly
you
right.
do this? Judgment Day ain't going to be about your church.
It's not going to be about you, brother.
No,
it's
going to
be... And anything that takes us away from dealing with... And see, that's the problem with education, is we don't deal with the individual students. We deal with classrooms, and we deal with communities. And we want every class to be the same level of mediocrity, you know, rather than elevating kids and dealing... The scripture tells us he gives us diversity of operations, diversity of manifestations. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. We're all different.
It does.
We're all, and if you don't deal with somebody individually, you're setting yourself up for socialism.
Wow.
And so that's why we can say, oh, the problem with socialized medicine is you're not an individual. You're part of a group. You don't get choices, and there's no competition. You don't get to take the best doctor. You got to take the doctor. And see, that's why you can look at that and say, biblically, that's all wrong. So those are three things that anytime you see them, and that doesn't matter whether it's in T-ball, it doesn't matter whether it's in a Rotary Club, it doesn't matter whether it's in your church, you're setting yourself up for violating God's principles.
Let's talk about motivation a minute, because motivation is so big with God, man. I mean, motive is just there to deal with.
Yep.
Why did I teach my son, my daughters, Why did I teach them to excel and to be strong in the Lord and to work hard at what they... If you're going to play ball, then you play it to
that's
the
right.
hilt, brother. Why?
You do it as unto the Lord.
You do it as unto the Lord as a testimony to Him.
That's right.
Amen. Now, if you put that up top, it'll come out right.
That's right.
If you put self... I want to be the best on this team because I'm going to get ahead in life. Now, you're wrong to start with.
That's right. You've lost it.
Yeah.
Yep. You're in that selfishness thing now. And that selfishness is on its way down. You're in the selfishness.
It's all on this thing, isn't it? It's in there.
It's selfishness.
And you notice that the right side of this, when you come out of bondage, because you know the truth and the truth will make you free, did you notice here that it's a climb?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the climb side of this curve.
That's right.
You get up here and you get out. You step right across the line here into selfishness. You're on a downhill run. All you got to do is just lay down, brother. You'll wind up down here in the pit.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's just slide. That is an amazing thing.
And again, that's why socialism is the default position, because you slide into it. You just relax.
Be still.
Just relax and you just kind of slide into it.
The whole world is going in that negative flow.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is just float.
That's right.
You remember back years ago when Jerry Savelle preached that sermon? I mean, it went all over the world, brother. About the guy in his rowboat talking about fate. You remember that? And the guy's out there, and he's paddling his little boat, and he's doing the best he can, man. And he's just working and working and working. He's having to go upstream. And he just stops and take a little breather. Man, it just his turn and go right back. And he's paddling that boat. This is hard.
Yep.
He can go. That's just the way life is,
right,
because of what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
We've got an enemy. But let me tell you something. You keep feeding faith to that thing.
Right.
You keep feeding faith to that. The next thing you know, there are going to be 14 or 15 of you in that boat at the same time,
that's
man.
Right.
And we're paddling and we're going. And the power of God will take over that thing. And you just stay at it and that boat will come up out of the water.
Yeah.
You'll begin to fly, brother.
Yeah.
And that's a totally different thing.
Yep.
But it
you'll
is,
break loose and
you break
against the tide.
And there you are.
Right.
You break
that's
out
right.
of that
break
thing.
Out of it.
And notice where you hit abundance, right up on top.
Yep. Yep.
Hallelujah. And we out of time again.
Glory
to God. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you this. Don't pay so much attention to that news media. Separate yourself from that thing. And pay attention to God and His Word. Get your eyes on Jesus and His Word. And I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror in Him who gave Himself for me. Praise God. That's when you take courage and come out of that mess, brother. You get your healing and God begins to move for you and people start talking ugly about you, you're doing real good.
That's right.
Brother David, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention.
It's a time of refreshing.
To get just saturated completely with the Word of God.
Abraham's blessing is mine. The Eden blessing is mine. My circumstance is supposed to look just like the Garden of Eden.
It's life for my children. It's health to my children.
We came to hear from God.
Now that you're in Christ Jesus, then you can walk together with Him in this earth realm.
The more you engage, the more you receive.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice Victor broadcast. Now, it wasn't that way when it first started out. I didn't want to receive offerings at all. I got tired of hearing that begging, and I didn't want to do it. And I told the Lord, I said, Glory and I can believe God for the income of this thing. And no, He said, no, you're unscriptural by thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
And He took me over here to the book of Galatians chapter 6, and he showed me where once you have taught.
Yeah.
And then when we went on the Believer's Voice of Victory, He said, now I don't want you to get on there and preaching, He said, I want you to teach. Really? I want you to teach people my word and teach my principles. Mm-hmm. And so he said, let him that is taught in the word communicate or respond mm-hmm. to him that did the teaching in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Yeah. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life, reap Zoe, the life of God himself. And when you hear the word and it gets down in you, and then you respond to that by sowing into the life and ministry of the person that ministered that to you, then you stir up the life of God that's in that word,
yeah.
and it makes it yours. Yeah. It makes it a part of your spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what was happening there in the book of Acts we were talking about. That's what took place. Those people started sowing over the word of God that yeah. was being preached, and it just exploded in a great awakening in that area.
Yeah.
So, Father, we pray over this radio and television audience all over the world. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to reveal to each one what is their part of the finances of this ministry, and whatever you say to them is what they will do. And we give you the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Now, radio, television, internet, for those receiving the radio and television internet broadcast outside the United States, your offering stays in the area where you're located, where you're being blessed with the broadcast. It doesn't come to the U.S. and then we do other things with it. It stays right there to bless you. Amen. So, now, stay on the Word. Praise God. Go to church this Sunday. Praise the Lord. Watch the Sunday broadcast. We'll be back here again Monday. Thank you, David. Give them a love to Cheryl and tell everybody at home we said hey. And we'll see you again Monday, brother. We're going to do it again next week. And this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455.
Hello, I'm John Copeland.
And I'm Jesse Duplantis. We are so excited about the next 2 weeks that are coming up. You know, Brother and Sister Copeland and John asked me to be a guest, and we'll be talking about vision. What is your vision? Will it become a reality? We're going to give you the answers to these things. You're going to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. So don't miss these broadcasts. See you soon.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.